Let me hear you say hallelujah. Now, if God has been your friend, stand on your feet and just give him a glory hallelujah this morning. God has brought us, as the old song said, through many dangers, toils, and snares. He's brought us through trials and tribulation. He's brought us he's brought us all the way. And it's because of the goodness, it's because of the grace of God that we are here today, clothed with our right minds, ready to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders. Amen. For blessing us in this time of praise, this time of worship. Ooh, they had me hollering. Carrying on because the Lord is just so good. Open your Bibles with me this morning. And we don't intend to keep you long, but there is a word from the Lord today. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and I'm going to read one verse in your hearing, pray, and we're going to get right into the word this morning. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. And it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bow with me. Father God, we come this morning in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, O God, for this time of worship, this time of exaltation, this time, Lord, that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, on this day, we just want to say thank you for being so gracious. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind to us. Thank you for blessing us, dear Lord, in so many, many ways. Now, Lord, stand in my body. Think with my mind. Speak with my mouth, O Lord, that you may be heard today. I pray, Lord, that you would move on the hearts of the worshipers, that they might glorify you, Lord, today as we remember the blessings that we enjoy because of Christ's resurrection. Speak today, Lord. Touch somebody in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your Bible with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Blessings of the resurrection. This is a holy day. Amen. And I know we're supposed to live holy every day. This is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's a sacred day for the church of Jesus Christ. And believe me, it should be celebrated on a level with the same passion as the birth of Christ. Amen. And let me tell you why. We can celebrate Christmas all we want to. Amen. But if Christ had, and Christ could have died, but if he hadn't rose from the grave, it would have all been for naught. Amen. There would be no power without the resurrection. There wouldn't be power to save us. There wouldn't be power to keep us. There would be an absence of that critically needed power that you and I need, amen, in order to fulfill God's call and his purpose on our lives. We need resurrection power. Amen. We need, and I'm so glad that Christ rose from the dead. Amen. And with that, there is a very lengthy list of blessings that we, the children of God, enjoy because Christ rose from the dead. Amen. And when I think about it, I just get excited because I think about what God has brought to me, what God has given to me through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to touch on just a few of the blessings this morning. In no way is this an exhaustive list. In no way could I take time in one sermon to touch them all unless I just start reading. And in about 30, 40 minutes, we get up and go home. But since I can't do that, God hadn't led me to do that. We're going to talk about four of the key blessings. And I believe you'll agree with me that they are critical, that they're very important, and God has blessed us in a very rich and powerful way through the resurrection of his Son from the dead. I think a lot of times we go to the cross and we go, amen, to the ascension, and then we don't talk about, in the context of the resurrection, those things that are ours because Christ rose. Amen. So this morning, let's just take a look at a few of them and see the great blessing that God has bestowed upon all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the first one is that he has given us the blessing of a living hope. And I want to read the same passage in your hearing. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Through the resurrection, God brought us back into an intimate, personal relationship with himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's one of those relationships that you and I and all believers enjoy because it is given to us by his Son. Amen. We're brought back into a relationship with the God of the universe, the God who created everything, and it's because of his abundant mercy that all of us enjoy such a powerful salvation today. It is through God's mercy, amen, that we find ourselves standing in a position of blessing in the sight of God. So, what's so great about the blessing that God gives to us? One of the things that I believe is really great about it is that it resembles the blessing that God gave to the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. If you remember, while they were out there wandering around, didn't have anything to eat, God allowed them to rise every morning and go out and pick up manna. Amen. And manna was to last them how many days? One day. Until you got to the day before the Sabbath, and then you could pick enough and it would last for 2 days. Well, according to Scripture, God gives us new mercies every day. Amen. So your yesterday's mercy is not intended for today. Amen. Tomorrow's mercy is not intended for today. You can't borrow mercy, amen, because God gives you just what you need for today and today alone. He is a merciful God. Because, and we need one, believe me, because we are sinners. And because of our sin, we need God to show us mercy. And because of his great mercy, you and I have been born again to a living hope. Amen. See, a living hope changes the way we talk. It changes the way we think. Amen. It changes how we live our lives. That's what a living hope does in the life of a believer. It produces holy conduct. It produces the ability to say no to temptation, amen, and then to pursue those things that will give God glory, those things that will honor him to the fullest. It produces, amen, an ability, a desire that is in our heart, amen, to do those things that give God glory, those things that honor God to the highest. And see, that's a good thing, because hope, amen, it gives us the ability to deal with life's challenges. And believe me, that if you are a child of God, you're going to face some challenges down here. Amen. You're going to deal with some stuff just because you profess the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad about it, because our living hope gives us reassurance that we are the children of God. And because we're his children, we can find hope in the time of need. Several years ago, Parade magazine published an article about a man named Eugene Land. Eugene Land was a self-made millionaire. He was invited to come and speak to a sixth grade class in East Harlem. And as he thought about going over there, he wrote out notes and things that he thought would be good speaking points to these kids that were about to go into high school. And he got there, and when he was thinking, he said, "Now, what can I say to them that will impact their lives and make them want to listen to me? What will even make them want to look up and at my face?" As he stood up before them, he took his notes and he folded them up and put them back in his pocket. And he said, "Stay in school. Get your education. Finish what you started. And if you finish what you started, I will help pay for each one of y'all's college tuition." Everything changed. Every expression on the face of those children was lifted that day. And one of them said, "The reason I now have my expression changed is that I now have something to look forward to." Amen. See, hope changes things. And on that day, hope changed those sixth graders, and 95% of that class graduated from high school. Hope is a wonderful thing. A believer should never act like they don't have hope. We have a living hope. Living hope is eternal. And see, when you just go look at the definition of hope, it means confident optimism. But in the life of a believer, hope is confident assurance that God is going to do just what he said, that we can trust him, amen, to deliver on every promise that is in his word. A living hope is ours because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God brought us back from that sinful lost state into an intimate, passionate, personal relationship with God through his resurrection. Not only did he bless us with a living hope, he blessed us to be at peace with God. Yes. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when God, you know, see, most of y'all don't know you at war, didn't know you were at war with God. Amen. But God made a declaration of war when Adam failed. Oh, y'all, come on now. And ever since the fall, that sin nature has been a part of our DNA. And we've been at war with God ever since then because of our rebellion and our desire to want to do life our way and have it our way. You know, like, you know, this ain't Burger King. With God, it is a theocracy. God is in charge. God calls the shots. Amen. And every person who does not know Christ Jesus as their Lord is still at war with God. Now, just for the fun of it, can you imagine having an enemy who is omniscient, who knows everything? Can you imagine having an enemy who is omnipresent? He has the power to be in more than one place at a time. Can you imagine having an enemy who is infinitely, he is omnipotent and infinitely more powerful than you are? Just think about, just imagine what it would be like to be in war with somebody who had those attributes. We'd be in a lot of trouble. We couldn't go nowhere where he wasn't at. We couldn't outthink him. And we sure couldn't out-muscle him because he is God. And see, but if you want the war to end, according to Romans 5:1, it is through justification, and justification comes through faith. Amen. So it takes faith in Jesus Christ for the war between us and God to come to an end. See, true faith produces results and changes the life of a person. Amen. I know when I was born again, I was truly changed. And that change came because of the faith that I have in Jesus Christ. And see, it's not a person just confessing Christ, but it is receiving Christ and allowing him to rule and to reign. See, because if a person hasn't changed at all since the day they profess Christ, their faith is dead according to the scripture. Their faith is not real. It is not genuine. Amen. And it takes living faith. It takes real faith. Amen. In order for the war to end between us and God. See, true faith produces change, not perfection. Oh, let me say that again. Yeah, true faith produces change, not perfection. See, I said I was changed, but I wasn't by no means close to being perfect. Amen. So, but what it did do is it started moving me away from the things of the world and closer to the things of God. I thank God for the faith that not only saves but justifies us, changes us, and stops the war between us and God. And because of our faith, we have peace. with God. That enemy who was omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent is now your best friend. Oh, y'all, come on. See, you know, it's good to be at peace with somebody that says that, Father, all you've given me are in my hand. And can't nobody snatch them out of my hand. So our salvation, our lives are secure because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he blessed us with deliverance from death. Death's power cannot affect you and I any longer. Oh, y'all, see, in John 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Since the fall, all mankind has been under the power of death. We've all been on death row, so to speak. We've all been destined to die spiritually and be separated from God eternally. Physically, Dr. Reuben Fields used to say that we are in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. And see, we're justified because we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believed it and we put our faith in him. And for that reason, we can never be condemned. God declared us righteous. God declared us just. And Satan and all of his angels and his emissaries can come to the throne of God and talk about all of our past sins. And God is going to say, get away from me. The blood of Jesus covers them. And when you read my word, in Romans 8:1, it says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So now that we've been born again and we are in the body of Christ, we can never be condemned. Because God has justified us, we have passed from death into life. I don't know about you, but I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about it. See, and even when this old body of mine dies, amen, I'm going to pass through death into life. Yes, I'm not going to linger in the grave. I'm not even going to linger wherever I lay down and give up my last breath. I'm going to move straight from there into eternal life and the presence of Almighty God. Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In the first resurrection, all of those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are going to rise. Oh, glory to God. See, I don't know about you, but I know because I know Christ, I'm going to be in that number that get up in the first resurrection. Those who die in the Lord, those who know Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, oh, my God. We'll be blessed to enter into his divine presence, come into his kingdom, and the second death has no power over them. See, the second death is eternal fire. It is that lake of fire. It is that place of punishment that is eternal hell, if you will, amen, where there is no escaping, there's no calming the pain, there's no erasing the punishment that takes place in the second death. All right. Oh, but because we are in Christ Jesus. Y'all see, let me take some of y'all back a little ways. See, MC Hammer said, can't touch this. Yeah, see, now that we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Satan can't touch this. Death can't touch this because Christ is our Lord. Amen. Because he has sanctified us. Because he has justified us. He has delivered us by his divine power, and death has no power over you and me today. So get ready to move to the close. Let me touch this second one. Well, this fourth one, I should say. That is that we are blessed to be heirs of God. Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. See, an heir is a person who legally has right to the possession of a person who is dead. You and I are heirs by right, by divine decree of a person who is alive. Oh, y'all miss that. See, in this natural order, we receive things from our family, loved ones, friends, and even philanthropists because they will things to us. And they're going on. But in our case, spiritually, we're heirs because Christ died and rose again and is alive. See, Christ Jesus is God's only begotten Son. We are God's children by adoption. And even as his adopted children, we have an inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And see, all that the Father shares with his Son, all that he gives to him, you and I will receive our equal portion. Amen. See, and that inheritance is that we have one, peace. One, two, that we have life. Three, we have righteousness. And it's all ours because of the goodness and the grace of God. Being a child of God is a major source of our assurance because Christ rose from the dead. Stories told of a great theologian, a great Bible student, an excellent teacher in the Word of God, a Hebrew scholar, if you will. Sometime after he was married and had a little baby boy, he was called away to minister. He was called away to teach. And he was gone for about 6 weeks. When he came back home, his little boy met him at the door. And when he reached down to pick him up, the little boy said, Abba, Abba, Abba. And the father looked at his wife and he said, I've only been gone for a few weeks. And he's already speaking Aramaic. He's already speaking to me in the language of God. And see, the closest real intimate relationship you can have is that awareness that you have a father. A father with his arms stretched out to wrap around you. A father whose heart is concerned about your well-being and your welfare every day of your life. A father who is making plans for you. A father who loves you. Amen. A father who is protecting and guarding you. If you have that sense of fatherhood, it's because you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and God is your Father. It's the guarantee that comes from Jesus Christ that our inheritance is sure, that our inheritance is real, that we have riches in glory. See, adoption guarantees us some stuff as children of God. It guarantees us that we are truly members of God's family. It assures us that we have, it guarantees that we have all the rights and privileges of all of those who are going to come into the kingdom of God. It gives us immediate access unto God himself. It allows us to bear the name of God and be called his children. Amen. And then the assurance that we will share a full portion of the inheritance that God gives to Jesus Christ, he promises to his children. And then six and very important, and that is that Satan can never claim us again because God is our Father.
Yeah.
How does this adoption work? Adoption means that we now are part of a brand new family. Adoption means that we have new privileges, and we have a family, we have a new name, we have a new address, we have a new destiny. We have a bright future because we have been adopted by God. Adoption means that you and I ultimately will spend eternity in the presence of God. Oh, what does that really mean now? It means that we're rich and not poor. That we have the Spirit of God living down on the inside of us, and we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It means that because I have access to God, that I should be using it at all times. It means that all of y'all are my brothers and sisters, and I ought to be able to lean on y'all. Y'all, see. And not only that, but we ought to be able to lean on one another because we are the body and we are the family of Almighty God. And then, on top of that, God has given us numerous spiritual gifts to use in ministry to be a blessing to all of the children of God. Well, we are blessed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection allows God to show us some things. It allows him to show us how he can invade our lives and help us deal with everyday issues. It shows us how he can come in and invade our lives just like he invaded the tomb on that Sunday morning when Jesus had laid all night Friday and all night Saturday. See, when he came into the tomb, he flipped some things, he flopped them, he twisted them, he turned them, amen. He turned the page, amen, and showed his divine power in the tomb that morning. And see, the thing that's really bad is we sing about God's power. We talk about God's power. We even testify about God's power, amen. But we don't always have that experience of God's power firsthand in our lives, turning things around when they're topsy-turvy and it looks like we're about to go down for the last time. When God shows up and does something that is beyond human comprehension. My prayer partner was sharing with me this morning how a car T-boned his wife. She walked away without a scratch, without any soreness of muscles. She didn't fall out and try to fake nothing. She got out thanking God because that wreck that could have taken her life, God showed up. Twisted, turned, flipped, and made it all right. Oh, yeah, he got to get the car fixed. But he says, you know what, Art? I'm just so glad that my wife is okay. I said, bro, you can get 10 cars, but you can't get another her. God has a way of showing his power in ways that just blow us away. Let me just kind of walk you through a few things and I'm going to close. Amen. See, God demonstrated his power. When they came and they took Christ from the Garden of Gethsemane. They took him and they mocked him and they whipped him and they took his clothes and it looked real, real bad on that Friday. Amen. It looked bad that Friday. Amen. When they marched him from courtroom to courtroom. It looked bad when he had been whipped and whipped again and then ultimately had been given the sentence of death by crucifixion. It looked real bad that Friday. Then they took an old rugged cross and they laid it on his back and told him to carry it up to Mount Calvary. It looked bad out there that Friday. And then they laid him down on the cross and they drove nails in his hands and they drove nails in his feet. Yeah, it looked bad when they raised him up between those two thieves out there on Calvary. See, it got dark because the sun refused to shine. And the moon dripped down in blood. Oh, it was a dark Friday out on Mount Calvary. And it looked real bad because Jesus had said, I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah, if anybody believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live again. But it was dark and it looked bad out there that Friday. When I heard him say, I thirst, and they tried to give him vinegar mingled with gall. And then while he was hanging there, somewhere around the ninth hour, I heard him when he said, Father, It's finished now. I'm sure that all of those who were gathered around said, this is a bad Friday and things are not looking good. Well, while they were standing there, Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And they knew that it was all over then. He died out on Mount Calvary. The soldiers came around realizing he was dead and took a spear and speared him in the side. My Bible says that blood and water ran out. Oh, yeah. But he was hanging there for your sins and for mine. They came by and took him down and laid him in old man Joseph's new tomb. Oh, it looked bad out there that Friday. Yeah, and then they rolled a stone up to the mouth of the grave. And then they set a guard to watch over the body of Jesus Christ. Oh, y'all say, y'all, it didn't look bad out there that Friday night. But all night Friday night, Jesus laid in the grave. Looked bad that night. All day Saturday, Jesus laid in the grave. All night Saturday night, Jesus laid in the grave. Oh, I'm so sad tonight. Even death was convinced that he had the victory. But let me tell you one other thing. You know, when you go to the store and you buy something, they give you a receipt. And the receipt is proof that you purchased whatever you're taking out of the store. Well, God gave us a receipt. Because early Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead, declared that all power in heaven and earth is in his hand. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the receipt that I have eternal life. It's the receipt that I am a child of God. It's the receipt that I have a living hope. It's the receipt that I've been delivered from the power of death. It's the receipt that I am an heir and a child of Almighty God. Yeah. Oh. I think about it. Sometimes I have to get out my receipt and just look at it. Yeah. And it proves of payment that I'll spend eternity with God. When I look at that receipt sometime, I just find myself saying hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. See, I get excited because he rose. And one day, we're going to rise. See, when the shout from the archangel and the trump of God sound, the dead in Christ are going to get up. And we're not just going to get up, but we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And the scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Oh, what a day of rejoicing is going to be when we see Jesus. The old songwriter said, we'll sing and shout. Oh, sometimes we need to shout, y'all. We'll sing and we'll shout the victory because God has delivered us We're blessed because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that he rose. Yeah. That's my assurance. That's my receipt. That one of these days, question is, the paramount question is, the critical question is, do you have your receipt? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't know him, don't be ashamed. He said, no greater love has any man than this, that a person would lay down their lives to save somebody else. That's just what Jesus did because he loves you this morning. I want to ask the praise team and King to come as we prepare to extend the privilege of the church. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this will be a great day. Come and receive him. If you need to rededicate your life, line back up with the Lord, get back in step with him, this is a great day to recommit. If you know him and you're doing all right, but you don't have a church family with which to worship God, Christian Charity is a good place to cast your lot. I'm going to ask you to stand with me as the praise team sings.